The Passion of Christ. This is the title of today's sermon. You may be recall the title of the movie, The Passion of Christ. Whether the movie came into your mind first or not, The Passion of Christ was real. The Passion of Christ is not just in the movie story, but it's a true story. Of course, we don't want to make an extreme imagery of violence about Jesus' suffering in any movies or pictures. Of course, we don't like any non-biblical elements to maximize the passion of Christ in those scenes. Of course, we don't want to picture his dreadful passion in order to stimulate our emotions only. However, the passion of Christ was still real. Jesus Christ suffered and he died. That was a very vivid story. The story depicting the passion of Christ should be preached, studied, and meditated on. That story is also the story I will be talking about in today's sermon. We will look at the Passion of Christ or the Suffering of Christ under four headings. It's background, characters, reason, and event. Background, characters, reason, and event. What is the background of Jesus Christ's suffering? Sometimes the background of a story tells a lot of things. Also, knowing some background information is helpful to understand the story itself in a better way. Jesus Christ is the main character of today's sermon, and we are looking at particularly his suffering today. To begin with, let us look at the background. Christ came into the world and suffered in this sinful world. This is our first heading, the background. Jesus suffered in this sinful world. Jesus suffered in this sinful world. While looking at the background of Christ's suffering, think about the background of Peter's letter, especially the reason why Christ's suffering is mentioned here in 1 Peter. Peter has told us so far about Christian suffering in this sinful world. Thinking of our relationship with others, our culture, and our society we belong to, we see that and we saw that they are not only imperfect, but also broken. Living in this sinful world, we often face afflictions and difficulties. We, as Christians, might suffer. Before verse 18, today's passage, we spent most of our time studying about our suffering in this world and how to live in this world as Christians. Now here, Peter gives us an example to follow. Jesus Christ, who also suffered. So why? Why should Christ suffer? Because of sin. The first part of verse 18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins." You may see the word sin. Romans 5:12. "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned." Sin came into the world. All men are born in sin. This world where sinners live together is a sinful world. We could think of many problems in this world and your life related to sin. Why do we have conflict over our culture, society, or nation? Why do we struggle at our workplace? Why do we have such a hard time in our own homes? We cannot think of these problems separate from the sin, which is the root cause. How about pollution, war, abuse, illness, and death? Can you think of them separate from sin? If you are a Christian sociologist or political scientist, how can you suggest any plans to solve social and political problems without an understanding of sin? If you are a Christian counselor, how can you give any advice to your counselee without an understanding of sin? If you are a Christian parent, how can you raise and teach your children in this world without an understanding of sin? Living in the Garden of Eden might have been very different from this world we live right now. Also, living in heaven will be totally different, because there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. Yet, not now. The place we are living in is the sinful world. We, in this world, will face suffering. Peter continued to talk about Christian suffering and show us Jesus Christ, who is also suffered in this world, and whom we should follow. Jesus Christ, who is the only begotten Son of God, and God Himself, came down to this sinful world and also suffered. We should remember the background of our suffering and the background of Christ's suffering. There is sin. There is sin. We have looked at the background. Now we want to look at the characters. There are only two groups of people mentioned in today's text. As a second heading, we can see Jesus suffered for the unjust. Jesus suffered for the unjust. Again, I'm going to read verse 18 again. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous. The just and the unjust, or the righteous and the unrighteous. There are two groups of people in this world, the just and the unjust. However, you may remember what Paul said in Romans 3, 10 to 12. None is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good. Not even one. The Westminster Shorter Catechism also teaches, all mankind descending from Adam by ordinary generation sinned in him and failed with him in his first transgression. So it should be understood that we are all unjust. We are neither just nor righteous people. We are people who are the unjust, living in the sinful world. Then, who is the just? The only just one is Christ. If you looked at the Greek text, the just here is singular in its grammar, while the unjust is plural. There is the only just one, who is Jesus Christ. Peter preached in the book of Acts that Jesus Christ is the holy and righteous one. Christ is the righteous one. What we see in today's text is that the righteous one suffered for the unjust. Unjust people. As you know the story, the righteous one suffered for the unjust. And he suffered by the unjust in this sinful world. Christ suffered for the unjust, who deserve eternal death, not eternal life. About this exchange of the just for the unjust, one pastor describes it as an unfair exchange. Unfair exchange. He also says he exchanged his perfect righteousness for the unrighteousness of his people. Children, do you know the term fair trade? If you go to the grocery store with your parents, and they want you to pick up a bag of coffee, which is an essential item for some of your parents, you may see the label on the coffee bag saying that it is fair trade coffee. Fair trade is a social movement. The goal is to help producers in developing countries achieve better trading conditions and to promote sustainability through paying as much as the product deserves. We can protect producers and workers, especially children workers. Another example, I got a very nice new suit from my grandma as a gift. Then my brother came to me and said, oh, it's very nice. I will give you my old suit. There's a hole somewhere. Then this suit is mine from now on. Does this sound fair trade? It's not. So, likewise, we, the unjust, don't deserve Christ's righteousness imputed on us. The unjust don't deserve to trade with the just. Jesus Christ is precious and worthy beyond price. But we are not. It's unfair exchange. Outside of Christ, we are not even as valuable as a penny before the sight of God. We cannot buy our salvation with what we have. The value of salvation is much more expensive. However, Christ paid the price through his suffering, and we were purchased by his suffering. Christ suffered for us. The just suffered for the unjust. This was unfair trade, but he has done for us. So we have looked at the background. Jesus suffered in the sinful world. And we have looked at the characters. Jesus, the just, the only righteous one, suffered for the unjust. Now, under the third heading, we will look at the reason. The reason Jesus came and suffered in the sinful world for the unjust. Look at verse 18 with me again. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. That he might bring us to God. This is the reason. That Jesus Christ might bring us to God. No one by himself can come before God because of his sin. No one is righteous. We have no right to stand before God. No one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law, by doing good, by singing psalms, or by being a part of the RP church. Jesus Christ is the one, the only one who can bring us to God. Think about a Venn diagram you learned at school. For those who haven't studied a Venn diagram yet, it is a picture that shows the relationship between two sets of things by using circles that overlap each other, like this. And we call this overlapping area an intersection portion. But in God's set theory, in his set theory, there is no intersection portion. There are two totally different circles. One circle is made up of God's people chosen by Jesus Christ, and the other one is made up for those who are heading away from heaven. We all were in that circle with the people who are in sin and misery. We didn't and couldn't get out from the circle, that boundary. However, Jesus Christ can bring us from this one to others, from sin and misery to salvation. The Westminster Shorter Catechism, question 20, the last part of the answer says, God did enter into a covenant of grace to deliver them out of a state of sin and misery, and to bring them into an estate of salvation by a Redeemer. This is the reason for Christ's suffering, the suffering of our Redeemer. I mentioned earlier that we are living in a sinful world. Jesus Christ, who is the righteous one, also lived in this world with sinners. He didn't bring any flood to judge the world. He didn't fix everything broken by sin in this world. He didn't save all human beings. He didn't paint white color to cover the mess and bring a new paper for a new picture. But rather, he who loved this world so much came down and suffered to bring his own chosen people to God. He became the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. We have seen the background of Christ's suffering, the characters and the reason. But what happened? What is the main event in today's story? Here comes the fourth and last heading, the main event. The main event. Christ died but was raised. You all probably know the climax of Christ's suffering, as we read from the Gospel of Matthew. Actually, I intentionally didn't mention what that is in first three headings. In today's story, the main event is Christ's death and resurrection. All three headings, background, characters, and reason were set up for this happening. Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. What made Jesus' suffering significant and unique? What makes the first three headings meaningful? He died for us, but was raised. Let me read verse 18 again. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the spirit. If you are a newcomer, this is a very important message in your life. And if you are backsliding, wandering, or stumbling in your faith, here is the good news that God reminds you again what he has done in your life. If you are professing Christians, this gospel is put in your heart. If you are planning to join our summer barbecue party coming Saturday, this is the word you should prepare for our neighbors. Christ died for us, but was raised again. He died for you and me. That is the suffering he went through for you and me. In the first part of verse 18, many translations have the translation, Christ died, instead of Christ suffered. The translation suffer fits well in the context of the previous verses under the theme of Christian suffering. Yet, with the entire story of Jesus, I think the verb to die also very fits here. Christ died for sins. Christ, we saw this event in the background of the story. Christ died for the unjust. We saw it in its characters. Christ died for you to bring you to the Father. We saw it in its reason. He was slain, and by his blood, he ransomed. He gave his life as a ransom for you and me to satisfy the requirements for the justice of God and the law of God. He died while crying out with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? However, the story does not end with his death, but with a great hope, with a great glory. He was made alive. If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. Don't you think this passage, 1 Corinthians 5:14, I just quoted, sounds very familiar from my preaching on 1 Peter. I think I quote this passage a couple of times. Actually, in his letter, Peter writes repeatedly about Christ's death and resurrection. Listen, in chapter 1, verse 3, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In the last portion of chapter 1:21, God raised him from the dead and gave him glory. In the last portion of chapter 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that he might die to sin and live to righteousness. And here, in the last portion of chapter 3:18, he was put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. I know the division of chapters and verses in the New Testament was established much later than the canonization of the Bible. However, it should not be ignored that Peter emphasized Christ's death and resurrection in each chapters. The beginning of chapter 1, the end of chapter 1, the end of chapter 2, the end of chapter 2. Christ died, but raised. It is not enough to speak of his death and resurrection just once. In our conclusion, the question, one question is before you. What does the fact that Christ died but was raised mean to you? How does it affect you and your life? Do you see the background of this event? Sin came into this world, but Jesus Christ came to this sinful world to die for the unjust. Do you see the characters of this event? We are the unjust. Our sins are many and great. We are sinners. But the only just one, righteous one, and holy one came down for the unjust to bring them to God. Do you see the reason for this event? We don't deserve to come before God. We cannot see the face of God. We cannot change our state of sin and misery. But Christ died for us and brings us before God. This event of today's story makes us dead to sin and alive to God. Christ died but was raised. Romans 6:10-11. For the death he died, he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. He died but was raised again. Amen.